Earning your degree online doesn't mean you have to go about it alone. At Capella University, we're here to support you when you're ready. From enrollment counselors who get to know you and your goals, to academic coaches who can help you form a plan to stay on track, we care about your success and are dedicated to helping you pursue your goals. Going back to school is a big step, but having support at every step of your academic journey can make a big difference. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.
Welcome to the RAND CRE Show, commercial real estate with no stone left unturned.
Hey everyone, welcome to the RAND CRE Show. I'm your host, Mike Taravella, with the man, the myth, the legend, Will Coleman. Will, how are you on this beautiful day?
Doing well, Mike, just running the marathon one step at a time, and excited to have our guest on the show today, Carson Hess. Carson is the co-founder of Development AI, a platform for real estate development, and personally invest as an LP in development projects around Boston. Carson also serves as the president of the Northeast Region of Engineers Without Borders. How's it going, Carson?
Doing great, gentlemen. How are you guys doing?
Just another day in paradise, baby, talking about real estate, talking about development, and talking about development AI. So we'd love to kind of hear what was the start of it and how did it get started?
Yeah. So taking a step back, you know, I knew that I wanted to be an entrepreneur in the real estate space in some capacity since I was about 19. And basically I was working summers delivering pizzas and got really into reading. Naturally, one of the first books that I picked up as someone interested in personal finance and real estate was Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And, you know, it was pretty much after reading that I decided this is what I want to do with my life. And, you know, I was going to school at the time. So I was studying mechanical engineering at Rutgers, New Jersey. And after I graduated, I ended up working in construction management for a couple of years. Enjoyed the job for the most part, but just kind of understood that, you know, my goal ultimately was to get into real estate. And the job for me was kind of a means to an end. And so flash forward to about a year ago from right now, was just going to meetups, really trying to network with people and, you know, find some way to get into real estate full time. And I happened to meet someone who was a software developer, my now business partner named Kevin. And it was through meeting him that, you know, he went to me with this idea of like, you know, we're trying to figure out what we can build on any particular parcel. And that requires some sort of combination of looking at zoning maps and zoning regulations and how existing properties are currently being used and overlaying all that data together to try and understand, you know, what are the regulations surrounding any particular parcel and, you know, can we actually build something interesting on top of this? A couple of months prior to me meeting with Kevin about a year ago, I had invested as an LP in a development deal in Chelsea, Massachusetts. That was basically a 9-unit condo ground up development. And it was through that I met my first development contact in Boston. And so what better person to bring the project to than to this individual that I had invested with. And so it was really through talking with that first individual who also happened to be pretty big in the tech and angel space that we, you know, Kevin and I had understood that we were really onto something. And as we just kept meeting with developers, you know, people that are into the, that are in the space full time, we understood more about what their particular pain points were. And then we built software that is able to help solve some of that problem.
Yeah. I think having that bigger why of the real estate piece of, I know I want to do it, I just don't know. And constantly just going through and figuring it out, networking with people, it just allows you to look forward, especially, you know, going in your W-2 job and everything, and that transformation over is huge. But also too, it's realizing every entrepreneur is solving problems. And in the real estate space, it's, we'll say, antiquated at best when it comes to tech and finding deals and everything like that. So with that tool, I know Carson offline has showed me the power of the tool and what it can do, but it's truly remarkable just to see all the information gathered. It's there. It's just a absolute pain to aggregate it. I mean, even trying to find a property owner's address from the tax assessor site is, you know, unique to every market. And so it's just, you know, with your tool at Development AI, it's been super powerful and super cool to see the growth and just what it can do and how it can help investors.
Absolutely. And it's interesting that you bring up real estate being an antiquated, you know, not technologically savvy space. I mean, I think from all of our experience, we definitely understand that to be true. And I think that if there is one space that's more antiquated than real estate, it's construction. And so I think that we also are kind of at the intersection of both, where it's like, you know, we're building real estate from the ground up. And I think, you know, you're exactly right. You know, what the tool is fundamentally is a way to go parcel by parcel in these areas that are of interest, you know, whether it's a Boston or whether it's a Nashville or a Staten Island, the ability to go through a zoning map and then understand, you know, where are these parcels where I can actually build a three family or a multifamily or even an office building or a self-storage facility. You know, looking at it from what's like the concrete regulations that will allow me to do something. But then also in Boston in particular, you know, every city has their way of controlling development in some way, whether that's like a variance process or a special permit process. And in Boston in particular, you know, we actually are able to scrape the YouTube videos of their Zoning Board of Appeals meetings and show what projects get approved, denied, deferred, provide some insight into why they've gotten approved, denied, or deferred, and then show the neighbors that are likely to show up in support or in opposition if you are trying to develop in their backyard.
Yeah, it's an amazing tool, that information, right? Information is the next, I think, currency moving forward, and all that data. So even we've looked into development, and it's just hard to figure out where you can, where you can't. You have to skim 150 variants and zoning PDFs, which are phenomenal reads, better than any Harry Potter book ever. And it's just per this paragraph, and it's just, you have to constantly read, network, make sure it's going through. So Carson's tool is just phenomenal, and Kevin's, and the ability to aggregate it. Here's what you can do here. Here's your most likely oppositions. And here's are the lawyers and team members that have had success when going up to bat for you in the zoning, which I think is just shortcuts the ability to get ample success, but also it's just continuing to build your team from the ground up, no pun intended, especially with development. But it's such a shortcut and process that is very powerful.
Yeah.
And without this tool, where do people normally go to get this information?
Yeah, so without the tool, you know, in some cases, in most suburban markets, there's not even a GIS viewer for the zoning. So if you wanted to understand even what zone you're in, you're probably looking at a PDF. And the PDF is, you know, it's got maybe 50 different colors on this color code. And it's saying, here's the residential one district, here's the MFR district, here's industrial. And a lot of times the map also isn't even oriented correctly. So you not only have this problem of like what zooming in to try and figure out what street you're in, but then understanding the rotation of like, if I'm looking at Google Maps next to the zoning PDF, the city might be oriented a little bit differently. So step one is kind of understanding where you are, you know, what zone is the property of interest actually in? And then step two is looking at the zoning ordinance itself to see, you know, where is the use permitted? So I've recognized that I'm in this MFR zone or that I'm in this residential one zone, but now I have to figure out what can I actually do in that zone? So it might say explicitly, it might say, you know, you can build a single family here, you can build a multifamily here, or it might say that it's allowed via some sort of conditional use permit, or it might say that it's forbidden outright. So that's kind of step one, is just understanding, is the use allowed? Then the next step is understanding what are the dimensional regulations that are associated with what I'm trying to build. You know, so like if I am trying to build a single family, what's my front yard going to be? My side yard, my rear yard? How many stories am I going to go up? How tall is the building? What's our floor to area ratio? How many parking spaces do I need? So that's from a high level is how you'd be able to run some due diligence on a development project. And as Mike noted, that is an extremely time intensive process.
I was going to say, you're making this sound really easy, and I've had to zoom in on PDF maps from the government. It's like, where is this land relative to this PDF that's scanned, colored in by hand, scanned in, and we're like, nailed it. So
and not only that, but then in order to figure out the you know, number of ceilings, all the regulations, like some cities have it so detailed that signs have to be made out of a certain type of brick and have to be a certain height. I mean, and you probably have to call 5 to 10 people to get that information. So that sounds amazing, especially us, you know, recently looking into development.
I mean, yeah.
You can only call 8 to 4 and they're on lunch and this. Right. So like you have like 3 hours to call the government and hopefully they'll reply back.
Yeah. My success calling the people at building departments has not been very high. And I mean, I think that it's in that respect, it's very similar to multifamily too, you know, where it's like, you got to have a really good team around you. You know, if you're going to be a developer, you got to have a good contractor, you got to have good subcontractors, You got to have a good attorney, a good architect. And so that's sort of that next layer of detail that we try to provide. And in the case of Boston, as Mike mentioned, we have that level of detail. But I mean, imagine the power and just being able to understand, you know, I can't spend all this time going through the zoning ordinance or going through the zoning map, but I can engage an attorney, the right one, that's going to help me get my project approved. So we really try to cut down on the amount of time that's needed for diligence and thereby then connect you with the right professional that's going to help you get that project approved.
Plus it's front loaded, right? Because everything with land is, oh, I can do this with it. And then you go through the process and it's, oh, I can't do that. And that's roadblock done. Versus mm-hmm. Carson's tool on the front end, it's just, here's what you can do today. Here are the people that can help shortcut and the learning curve that have had documented success. And I think that alone is just like the value add on that to any developer or even investor too, right? It's like when, even as an LP, who has success and you have that short list right there and here's where they had it. So it just allows you to just stack the deck with A players on your team. And it's just priceless in my opinion.
That's the goal.
And for zoning, because I would imagine a lot of development players will go in and try and change the zoning or take it from, you know, residential SFRs to the ability to, you know, build multifamily or retail or anything of the sort. Does your tool give any insight to that?
It'll give some insight as far as what uses are allowed in a particular zone. So we had a client recently that was looking for office sites that are zoned industrial. And that's sort of where this ability to go parcel by parcel and understand current use of properties is really important for our users. Because to your point, you know, we do have developers that look in neighborhoods in Boston for single families that are zoned for three. And they can then go and, you know, get the upzoning on that and change the use or maybe build an addition or tear down the building entirely and build something else. So pretty much the short answer is that if it's in the zoning code and there's some way to tie it back to a zone, then it'll be represented in our system as, you know, you're in this zone and here's all the allowed uses, here's all the forbidden uses and all that sort of stuff.
Awesome. Yeah, and every jurisdiction is different too. So yeah. I mean, that tool alone of what the process is, what the zones mean, that's on the development side, learning it. It's this city calls it ABC. This is BCD. And it's just like, it's a whirlwind of information and it gets harder and harder. The more you read those like zoning and permissions. And I mean, even when I've been reading textbooks and it's like, it essentially every chapter with, well, it depends. And it's just that clarity is so hard in development and you just have to be so on the ball in the future zoning, what the plans are. And, you know, with Carson's tool, it's, you can see what it is, what it was. And it just, it's a powerful tool that continue to learn and grow from and map those trends and changes.
How about current owners? Are you able to see who owns it or anything in that regard?
Yeah, so we integrate back in with the assessor databases in each respective city and county that we're rolling out into. And so as such, we are able to pull the owners. We also visualize adjacent common ownership. So we identify opportunities for lot combination where, say, you have, you know, someone owns a three family in Boston and he owns a vacant lot next door. You know, it's pretty easy to see in our system that someone has some sort of ownership arrangement like that. And then beyond that, you know, big lots in Boston in particular, there's so many people trying to develop in Boston. And as such, these people are getting their doors knocked on all the time. People are calling them all the time. And so that's especially for like the on-market opportunities. The off-market opportunities are a little bit more difficult to come by. And so through our platform, basically when someone identifies a property of interest, they can then fetch and also verify contact information of the property owners. So you know, you can use like a White Pages account or, you know, we have a couple of vendors that are integrated into our system. And where we take that a step further is through the actual verification from a third party service. So that way you're spending less time trying to get into contact with owners that, you know, don't have a good phone number.
What's been the one kind of feature coming in that you didn't think would be of value that has just been provided a ton of value to your clients?
Yeah, it's a great question. And the answer might sound really stupid, but it's actually the phone numbers. You know, we had demand for the phone numbers, but it turns out that that's like one of the major things that people are finding interesting. I think also probably the, yeah, I think the phone number is probably the biggest one. Can't think of
yeah. I mean, that's the hardest thing from, you know, trying to find a parcel of land or trying to find an investment is how to get in touch with the owner. Cause if you can do that and you can be decent on the phone, I mean, it's relatively easy to get an opportunity to buy the property. And so finding the phone number, the address of the actual owner is, you know, that's a big ticket item.
I would say we've been doing an off-market campaign for about a month, and I've talked to, we've done it with 60 target properties, and we have a resounding 0% success rate when it comes to phone numbers. So it's,
and you guys are exclusive.
It's not easy. So
you guys are mailing it all or just cold calling?
Mailing, cold calling, LinkedIn, some emails. So full court press, but we don't know if we're on the right court.
And then how are you guys like identifying the properties that are of interest? You guys using like Realme or something?
We've been checking apartments.com. Gotcha. We've scoped out similar acreage and stuff like that. But for us, it's, we had interns over the summer and we started in Knoxville and expanded because we really wanted, you know, any market, you need to kind of know the lay of the land, where to be, where not to be. So we gave our interns the ability to kind of scour apartments.com, which I know isn't the most efficient way, but we got to, you know, I think it's a good boots on the ground exercise. And then from there, it's just like, okay, here's what we're looking for. Here's the box, right? And then put the properties in the box. And then from there, just skip trace and went. But
cold calling people is hard.
Not the most efficient system or clearly accurate system.
Well, I'll tell you, I mean, cold calling is hard. You know, it.
Oh, yeah.
my cold calling experiences have never been fun.
It's a number you don't reckon. I mean, even for me being the accountant, I'm like, I've never done, like the first call is like, I've never done this before. I'm terrified. And then just disconnected. What do you want? Wrong number. I'm a resident. And it's just like, man, it is not. Josh Rusin on our team, shout out to you, man. Cause this is not easy. And he's a wizard on the phones.
Wow.
Yeah. So, I found after time, you can get better at it and it becomes more fun because you can, in the beginning, you think that, you know, you're trying to convince them of something and it becomes like a you against them type phone call. And then eventually you can learn how to make it a win-win type scenario. And so my first couple months was brutal, but now to the point, it's kind of fun.
Yeah. And you guys are all cold calling then?
So I work on the debt brokerage side. So I cold call owners, you know, looking to see if they're wanting to refinance or anything of the sort, or people that are looking to do purchases, you know, so I'll call on that. And then Mike's calling as if to buy, and then we'll do letters, that kind of hit both. So, you know, are you interested in selling? If not, are you interested in refinancing? So we're kind of both tiered there.
That makes sense.
Yeah. I'm just looking for new best friends. It's kind of how I always frame it going. I'm like, hey, I might find a new best friend today. Let's see what happens.
Mike's cold call is the same as him going to social events.
Hey, got to leave with at least a couple of new friends.
So for you, what's kind of the next steps for this development AI? Are you, you know, taking it nationwide? Are you guys just now in Boston? How does that look?
Yeah, we're expanding with our clients. So we started in Boston proper and have slowly started rolling out into the suburbs of Boston, just kind of like as we've been taking orders. We just closed our first non-Massachusetts deal yesterday.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And so we're rolling out with our customers. You know, as far as the data is concerned, it's relatively the same lift for us to go from, like, you know, Cambridge, Massachusetts to Aurora, Colorado. It's a matter of just finding out where their zoning map is, finding out where their zoning ordinance is, and then looking at their assessor information and then integrating that all back in. So the lift is relatively the same for us. I think as far as next steps, we are just looking to keep taking on new clients. You know, that's really the goal right now. And expand out with them.
And most developers you speak to right now in, you know, the current market cycle, are they hitting the ground running or are they pulling back?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked that question. I think that the customer for us looks a little bit different depending on whether we're in Boston or we're in one of the suburbs. The clients that we find the most traction with in Boston in particular are small shop developers, maybe like 2 to 3 people, that do, like, you know, anywhere from 3 to 9 units at a time. And then it's always class A. It's usually some sort of condo project as opposed to a rental project. There are some developers that are looking more kind of mid-size rental projects. those are the people that have slowed down the most because of what's happening with Class A rents in these sort of gateway markets. The smaller guys we work with are looking to get out into the suburbs and maybe do like one bigger project per year. And I think, you know, we are definitely seeing some people hit the brakes in Boston in particular, but outside of the suburbs and in different asset classes like industrial right now, we just get a ton of demand for. We haven't seen anything slow down at all. In fact, it's only accelerated.
And how are they, do you know how they're financing the most of this? Just kind of curious.
Yeah. I don't, unfortunately.
Okay, yeah. I'm sure it's very different versus, you know, the smaller, the bigger stuff, the industrial, I'm sure it's all different. I'm just kind of curious.
Yeah. I wish I knew more about it. I'm trying to learn, but
just I say Carson got enough on his plate to figure out.
Yeah.
I think it's, I mean, like you said, I think it's people are really gut checking their business model of where to be. And like you said, everything going on, office isn't that great. Industrial's been full throttle during these times. Multifamily, you know, people who are doing the 1 to 9 are now scaling up to do more because they just believe in it. And I think it's important to every entrepreneur, you know, you're constantly pivoting just to get to the path of success, which as we all know, it's not just the stairway straight up and it's all high fives and rainbows. It's a grind, and it's really making sure that we're going through the path together, figuring it out. And, you know, I think Carson too is even on your side and developing, it's constantly listening to your clients and what are their biggest pain points, adjusting your product to make sure it executes and does it really well.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think that's really how we started, right? Because I'm not a developer and my business partner, Kevin's a software developer, not a real estate developer.
Same, man.
And so it's really a function of like, you know, we're trying to understand what our clients' biggest problems are and then, you know, find some way to solve it. And at the end of the day, that's just good, you know, like product development. That's agile development. It's a matter of looking at what's the smallest incremental change we can make that's going to provide the most value on the back end. And I think that at the end of the day, that's what it comes down to. You know, you're only going to be as valuable as the problems that you're trying to solve. So listening to the customers that we talk to is everything. And same with the prospects too. You know, as we're talking, I mean, I'm talking to probably 5 or 10 developers a day, depending on the day. And it's everybody has a little bit different of a strategy and they're looking for a little bit different things. They have a different way to actually take down the deals. And we want to be in a spot where we can help them out regardless of what their sort of strategy is.
Yeah, no, I think that's huge. Even in multifamily, like the investing side, do they want new appliances? Do they want backsplash? Do they want A/B testing variances and just listening to, you know, studying the market, what moves the needle, what doesn't. And it's just a constant barrage. And I'm sure the amount of responses is infinite. So just sifting through that to really see what common trends and, you know, features that need to occur to help solve the big boy problems.
Yeah. And I'd imagine that it's different in every market too, right? Like the tile, the backsplash, I mean, might even depend on what particular part of the neighborhood that you're in.
Exactly.
Like class A, class B, class C, people are looking for different stuff.
Exactly. Couldn't agree with you. The infinite loop of just like, what if?
Yeah.
The, I don't know exactly who says this, but just kind of the ability to focus on your customer and being so close to your customer is really the key to any business because
you
know, you need customers to get sales and sales produce income. So knowing exactly what the customer is wanting, whether it's a resident, whether it's a developer or any type of product based business is vital.
Yeah. And we run on like a recurring revenue model too, you know, very similar to how in multifamily, your customers are your tenants and ideally you get them to stay there long-term. Couldn't agree more, you know, and from building that sort of close relationship and showing them that you're listening to them, that's what's going to reduce the total amount of churn and the total amount of turnover that you have, you know, whether it's your units or in your enterprise sales.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think too, Carson, I think with development, you know, a lot of people, you know, a lot of our listeners don't know, but if there's like a tool that you would recommend for them to kind of understand development, where would be like the first thing you'd point into? Because obviously you didn't know everything about development before going to this venture. What tools and resources did you leverage to kind of get the ball rolling?
To understand more about development, you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the first place that I went was to the developer that I invested with. I think even from then, you know, I still don't I mean, we never know as much as we want to, right? And I think I'm certainly still in the same boat. And so I'm still learning with every developer that I talk to. And so I think if they were just looking for a high level of like, you know, what it is and what's the typical process, you know, there are some good online resources about like, you know, building permits. And really that's sort of where like the zoning process and the development process starts is the end game is to get a building permit. Certainly I'd be more than willing to talk to somebody about if, you know, trying to learn about development, and maybe can point them in the right direction as far as, you know, if they're looking to get in touch with a certain professional. But it's also a very niche game. You know, there's small developers and there's really big developers that are more on the institutional side. And it's not always easy to find out who these people are. In some cases, it's harder to find out who the smaller guys are because they have less of a presence unless they're really investor heavy. So I think also try to understand, you know, who are the major developers in your local market, you know? So like if you're in a Charlotte, North Carolina, who are the guys that have their big signs out that are doing these ground up projects? You know, any sort of construction site will usually have a sign up that says who the contractor is or who the developer is, or even sometimes in some cases who financed the project. And so I think that those are great, great routes to try and get into contact with some of the local developers in your area if you're looking to learn more about it.
Find the cool sites and talk to the cool people.
Yeah.
The development is such a hard thing to read about and learn. Construction, development, there's so many moving pieces. It's so people oriented that I feel like you really do need to be in it to actually learn it. So, you know, like you said, working under a developer, meeting with a developer, speaking with developers, that probably is the best way to learn rather than, because, you know, I just finished a textbook on development. I still feel like I don't know very much at all on it. So
that's really cool. Well,
find land, back of napkin, yeah. Build it, done.
What was the name of the book, Will?
Oh man, I knew you were going to ask that question. I don't know off the top of my head.
I think I bought the book. So it was a Finance for Development. I think it was a ULI book.
Yes. Yep.
That's cool. Yeah.
That's why we're good co-host and host here.
No doubt about it.
Yeah, we'll send a picture of it to you.
Yeah, we got a bunch of books we'll send over to you, Carson.
That'd be awesome. And
perfect. You know, you also, and let us know when you you come to Knoxville with the app.
I'll let you guys know for sure. We do offer a free tool for people that if they're looking to just like spec out a project, whether that's like, hey, you know, I've got a site of land, I want to try and see what my building envelope would look like, or you know, what my building costs are going to be, what my construction, my sell-off costs are going to be, et cetera. And that can be found just www.developmentai.net. And once you sign up, then you'll have access to the spec builder for free.
That's awesome.
Did you write that down, Mike?
It's all up here.
Sweet. Well, we appreciate that. And before we go to our pro tip, let's take a moment to hear from our sponsor.
Are you looking for ways to improve your life?
Here at Jake and Gino, our mission is to empower students through financial education and the vehicle of multifamily investing.
Yes, Jake. We agree that a person with financial intelligence can change the world for the better.
We've created our proprietary three-step framework, Buy Right, Manage Right, and Finance Right, that we teach to our community. This framework, along with education, our one-on-one mentorship, on-site boot camps, and the amazing community has propelled our students to massive success.
We've all been there. We've had so many students that have been able to shift their mindset, overcome limiting beliefs, and set a clear path to achieve their goals. Whether you're currently fixing and flipping, wholesaling, or buying single-family rentals, and you know that multifamily investing is the right vehicle for you, I encourage you to visit jakeandgino.com/apply to schedule your complimentary consultation with our team. And I want to let you know this isn't a high pressure sales call. It's really just a discovery call to get to know each other better and see if we're a good fit for working together. And if for any reason we're not a good fit, our team has tons of resources we will share with you to help you along your journey.
If you're ready to stop spinning your wheels, go to jakeandgino.com/apply and schedule your call now.
And we're back. So Carson, we always love to give our listeners one investor pro tip. So what is your investor pro tip for our listeners?
The best advice that I could give is to talk to everybody. You never know where your next deal is going to come from. You never know how you're going to find that next key connection in your network. And so I think that the solution to that is talk to everybody. And, you know, in the form of a meetup, that means just being unafraid to go up to people and introduce yourself and recognizing that people are at a meetup to meet people. But I think secondly, it even happens on areas like LinkedIn. You know, there's a million people that are out there on LinkedIn that are trying to build a network as well, whether they're investors or developers or just, you know, single family real estate investors. So don't be afraid to send people connection requests and then just reach out to them and come at it from the angle of you want to learn about their business. And I think that would be my answer, is just don't be afraid to talk to anybody. You don't know where that next deal is going to come from.
I couldn't agree more. Hi, my name's Mike. Works 100% of the time.
That's all about who you know. And real estate is very much a relationship-based business. And, you know, it's something that takes time, but just going out and meeting with people and building relationships. And after 2-3 years down the road, when you find a deal like Mike's working on, you know, you'd be surprised at how many people are willing to invest with you, are willing to help out, and are able to help out. So I love that piece of advice.
Yeah. And I think similarly, like, don't be scared to tell people about what you do. You know, like, maybe you're a syndicator and you're trying to find higher net worth individuals. Like, you need to be telling everybody about what you do. Otherwise, how are they going to invest in you? You know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So before we wrap this up, if anyone had any questions for you, Carson, wanted to learn more about your tool or the free app, what's a way they can get in touch with you?
Yeah, so my LinkedIn is probably the number one way. The second way is probably Instagram, Carson_Hess, just first underscore last. I'm happy to talk to, take my own advice, talk to everybody. So if anyone wants to talk to me, I'll gladly talk to them and see if there's anything that I can do to provide value.
Awesome. Thank you. Yeah, developmentai.net, Carson Hess on LinkedIn. And if you go on Instagram, he'll kick, you know, he's a jiu-jitsu guy, so he will mess you up if you mess with him. So, but thank you, Carson. We appreciate for having you on the show. A lot of good tools. I mean, you know, you're doing a lot of good work helping developers save time, money, and energy. So super grateful to have you on to showcase your product. And if anyone has any, please reach out to Carson if you have any questions. But if you have questions for us, please reach out to us at info@ranseri.com. And until then, we'll see you next week.
Thank you.
Imagine earning a degree that prepares you with real skills for the real world. Capella University's programs teach skills relevant to your career so you can apply what you learn right away. Learn how Capella can make a difference in your life at capella.edu.